What a beautiful weather we've had. And it's in the buck rut right now. So, sorry, I was getting Arby going over here. He's pretty excited. Yeah, he needed that encouragement to start the sermon this morning. No, we're loving the weather out there. Children ages 3 through 5th grade, you guys are now free to go and head over to your class over here. Parents, if you'd please sign them in, but also make sure you sign them out. I know hunting is on the mind for some of you. Don't forget your children. It's happened. But that's okay. We just took them hunting with us after church that day. No. Anyway. All right, Arby, you want to come forward?
Yes, sir. Welcome back from Texas. I like your new boots. All right. I was doing good focusing on the message until Johnny mentioned the buck and the rut. And so if I get a little distracted today, well, isn't God good? God is simply amazing. He's wonderful. I hope you see and know and experience that daily, weekly in your lives. And we have our bad days. It's not saying life is perfect every day. It's not saying life is a bed of roses every day. Because God tells us in His Word, we will have trouble. There will be bad days. There will be unforeseen circumstances that you will have to face that catch you off guard, that completely blindside you and your plans for this life. God doesn't say we won't have to deal with them, but He does say, I will carry you through them. I will walk with you through the fire, through the mess, through whatever you're going through, and I will see you through to the other side. And that eventual side that He promises us is eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the end game we're all striving towards, right? Getting to heaven, taking people with us to heaven. I often think, man, Lord, the world's awful and there's a bunch of evil and bad things happening. Can you just bring the rapture? And then I think about all the people I know that don't know Him yet. And I'm like, wait, Lord, I take it back. Like, I still have some unsaved friends that I'm trying to get to go into eternity with me forever. And I want to see them for all of eternity. So I say, wait, Lord, we can endure a little longer. We can endure a lot longer because God so loved the world, everybody, all of humanity so much that He gave His one and only Son that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have life everlasting. God's heart toward humanity is that we would all inherit the kingdom of God for eternity. We have to do our part. He's already done His part. We have to say, yes, Lord, I need a Savior. We have to acknowledge He is Lord and Savior of our lives. There's nothing else we can do to get that, but simply make that acknowledgement of, I need You. We're in stewardship, number 12 today. There's a lot to steward in our lives. If you've been taking care of business in your life, in your personal life, of what God has entrusted with you, what has God placed into your hands, into your life? Said, this is mine, but I'm trusting You with it. As we raise and develop our children, I think they're some of the biggest people or biggest things in our lives that God entrusts us stewardship of. And for me, I'm constantly thinking, how well are we doing stewarding, raising these human beings that God entrusted to us? His sons, His daughters, His gifts to us. Am I giving them the tools they need to encounter life's hardships? Am I giving them the instruction they need to follow the Word of God above all else? Am I giving them the love, the compassion, and kindness they need? Am I showing them the heart of their Heavenly Father toward them through my actions, through my words, through my deeds? There's a lot we have to steward. Today we're moving on to thankfulness and discipline. And the room got really quiet. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word discipline? You don't have to say it, but you can say it to yourself or maybe share it with your neighbor. What's the first thing that enters your mind when you hear discipline? For me, it's bend over, grab your ankles, and receive your spanking. That's where my mind goes first off. As a child, I was a little bit rebellious and rambunctious and required a pretty heavy hand of discipline. In the moment, I did not enjoy it. I did not think it was a good thing. I did not think people were loving me well. But I look at myself today, say, thank you, Lord, for those spankings that have kept me from being in prison today, that have kept me from being dead today, that have taught me how to give honor and respect to those in authority over me, that have taught me how to tell the truth even when it hurts, that have taught me that stealing and lying and cheating are not acceptable forms of behavior. Anybody else thankful for discipline? Okay, there's three of us. That's wonderful. You probably won't like the message then. We're mostly going to focus on the spiritual disciplines that we should be applying to our lives. But before we do that, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful or full of anxiety, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. Do you know the Spirit God gives you is of self-discipline? We should be disciplining ourselves for what purpose? Because discipline, it should be intentional. Why we're doing what we're doing. What is the reason? So God gave us the Spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I am so thankful that God gives us the Spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Are you using or stewarding your power, love, and self-discipline to honor and glorify the Lord God Almighty? Are you using it to cause people to look positively on who God is? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Discipline them, not beat them, not abuse them, but discipline them. God has given us a really cushioned seat of knowledge. I won't turn around and give you the full view. As a child, I often had the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. And it worked wonders. It's one of the few family heirlooms I have. Is I have the family paddle that my granddad built for my dad. And I think it passes down to whoever it was used on the most. So I got it. And I'm going to have to do a coin flip, I think, between my son and my youngest daughter, maybe. I don't know. It's going to, or maybe whoever has children first gets it. I don't know, but. But it's not much bigger than a paint stick. It is a piece of really hard maple, and it leaves a good little pop and sting, but it's not a club. It's just a reminder. What have you done wrong, and what's the right action? Somebody's horn's honking in the parking lot if it sounds like your vehicle. Oh, it's off now. But discipline is this, according to the Collins Dictionary. English dictionary, excuse me. To train someone to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobediences. Sometimes we're disobedient and we need correction to become obedient. Of course, today we're looking at being obedient to God and his order. Discipline is the quality of being able to behave and work in a controlled way, which involves obeying particular rules and standards. And of course, the rules and standards we're looking at today regarding this are the rules and standards that God has given us. He's written down a whole manuscript of rules and standards that we should follow. So if you don't have time to read this whole thing today and memorize it, like none of us do, start here. Love God and love people. Because if you boil all this down, that's what God is asking of us, to love God and love people. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It takes discipline to do that. It takes discipline to say no to Arby's flesh and yes to God's, whatever he's asking me. And then to love people as I would love myself. Treat others with the same love and respect and dignity and kindness and honor that I myself would want to be treated with. That's basically, if you boil this down, that's what God is asking us to do. And there's some finer details you can look in, but start there. Love God and love people. Are my actions doing that? Are my words doing that? Are my thoughts doing that? Are my responses doing that? Because in a nutshell, that's what God is asking us to do. And why would he ask that of us? So we reflect his love, his kindness, his compassion, his generosity, his goodness to the world around us, that they too might know him as Lord and Savior and inherit eternal life. That's the why. Being good doesn't get me into heaven. Showing up to church doesn't get me into heaven. Being full of good deeds doesn't get me into heaven. But accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior, acknowledging that I'm not enough on my own and there's nothing I can do short of Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross that can get me to heaven. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Do you want a harvest of righteousness and peace? Righteousness being the rightness of God, being in right standing with him. I want a life of peace. I've experienced enough not peace that I don't want to experience anymore. I want a life of peace. God instructs us to discipline ourselves, to live a life of righteousness and have a life of peace. Discipline is painful at the time. When I think of discipline, some examples that we could think of in the physical, I think of athletes, especially like professional athletes, and what they have to endure to get to the level of training to be accepted onto a team or a sport at the professional level. What discipline? Well, I was gonna like run and work out this morning, but it was a little bit hot, so I didn't. And maybe the next day you would say, well, it was a little bit cold, so I didn't. You know, I just felt like sleeping in, so I didn't. But they rise to the level of discipline that is, no matter what the conditions are, I have responsibilities and duties to take care of today to prepare me for what's in store. You and I have spiritual disciplines that we need to instill and weave into the fabric of our everyday lives that we should get up and do regardless of what the day looks like, whether I woke up grumpy, whether I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, whether I woke up happy, whether I didn't wake up till an hour after my alarm went off. But we still have to be disciplined in our training. Our training is the righteousness of God, that he would be glorified through my life, that others may know him and his goodness. God offers us the spiritual discipline to get to know him more, to experience him at a deeper level so that we can reflect who he is to the world around us and so that we can share our testimony to the world around us of, it's one thing to know God, like Satan knows God, but he's not proclaiming his goodness. It's another level yet to experience God. It's another level yet to understand God. And it's another level yet to reflect who God is through your life. And it takes discipline. It takes discipline to day in, day out. Sometimes the gospel is so simple, yet so hard to follow. The simplicity is, this is a marathon, not a sprint. I need to make God look good for all of my life and not disqualify myself from the race he has set before me. What's God calling you to in discipline in your life? I think about driving. I'm glad that all of us were disciplined this morning and stayed between the mustard and the mayo and got here. Right? Those are some of the simpler disciplines of life, but you have to be intentional and focused when you're driving to keep your vehicle on the road, to not hit the deer that lurches out in front of you, to not hit the rock that rolls off the bank, to not hit the oncoming traffic that is not paying attention in their lane, so they're now in your lane. Had a close call this week with one of those. It was exciting for a bit. Just move off and ride the ditch for a ways and get around them. But if we're not disciplined and in the habit of paying attention and watching out for those things, then we have a collision. Then we have wreckage we have to pick up. And same in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we make our own messes and we say, God, why did you do this to me? He says, Arby, I've given you the tools to be disciplined in my word, and you haven't followed them. So this is kind of what you did to you. I'm like, what? Anybody else get there? God, why did you do this to me? And really, it was that guy that did it to me. The guy wearing your shoes, or gal. We must be disciplined. We have to be disciplined for work. If we want to hold down a job and earn an income, we have to get to work on time, put in a hard day's effort of whatever we're doing. Those are some of the simpler disciplines. Physically, what are you eating? What are you drinking? Are you getting enough sleep? We have a physical body to take care of as well, that we're instructed to steward well. The Lord's entrusted us with this body. One of my big ones, discipline, is pastries. I love pastries. I have to be disciplined to say no. Nope, not today. When I was guiding full-time, I could eat 3 or 4 pastries a day, and it never affected me. Now I eat like 1 a month, and it's like, you're still here? I mean, things change as we move and progress in life. We have to change our disciplines sometimes. They adjust and shift with us and where we're at in life. The more I get to know God, the more I learn of his love and his word. Discipline is a little bit fluid, a little bit, of what it means for you in this phase and season of life. When you have little toddlers at home, yeah, sometimes disciplines get blown out of the water. Like, this is what I do every morning. But when you have a screaming 1-year-old, that takes priority. When you have a screaming 10-year-old, that takes priority. At 16, they don't do that. Okay, your screaming 16-year-old takes priority. All right, let's get on to the spiritual disciplines. Number one, scripture reading. Scripture reading is one of the disciplines we should practice daily. Not just on Sunday when you show up to church and hear the pastor deliver the word or whoever's delivering the word that day. And you hear, but daily we should hear the scripture reading. How can I know the ways and rules of the Lord unless I'm in his word? His word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. But it can't shine light if I don't know what light it's shining, if I don't know what it says. I can't tell you the number of times in my walk with God that I have randomly opened up the Bible and just read a random passage, and it has been the gold nugget I needed to get through that day. And I have intentional reading plans also, but sometimes I was like, God, just what does your word say today? Flop it open and here we go. Read the word of God. It takes discipline to put my life on pause, to put what I want to do on pause. I'm going to sit down and give you 20 minutes a day. I'm going to sit down and give you 30 minutes a day. Kathleen and I are reading the Bible through chronologically this year, which I was doing really good until hunting season. And a lot of that was guiding also, and then I'm in the backcountry and don't have the app on my phone or connection, so I couldn't read it. But pretty soon, I'm 22 days behind. Like, I don't like to get behind. I like to be in front. I got a beater. But then I have to get disciplined. Okay, I'm 22 days behind. How many do I need to read every day to catch up? And I don't want to, like, catch up on December 31st. I'm like, I want to catch up in, you know, 6 or 8 days. So how many passages do I have to read? And so I set my course and I got caught up. But it takes discipline. I now don't need 15 minutes to read in the morning. I now need an hour to read in the morning. I have to adjust Arby's life to fit that with my disciplines. Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. How do you build your faith? Hear the word of God. Listen to the word of God on audio. Have someone read it to you. Read it out loud to yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. You want to build your faith? This discipline of reading scripture will build your faith. Why? Because it tells you who God is, who his character is, what his nature is, how he feels towards us, his heart toward humanity. And the more we get to know that, the more we say this is a good thing. God really does love me. And when we really get to understand and know that, then we want to share it with those around us. We want to tell them about the love of this great God. Next one we're going to look at is prayer. Romans 12, 12. Prayer is something we should do corporately, privately, out loud, quiet. I hope you pray every day, all day. But Romans 12, 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And some other versions will say constant in prayer. Some will say continually in prayer. But be faithful in prayer. And we don't have time to get into all the different types of prayer today. But there are prayers of thanksgiving. There are prayers of, God, this is what I need. Request, petition. There's prayers of intercession. There's prayer is a big subject. There's not just the sit down and eat your food, pray. You should be thankful then too. But there's lots of ways to pray. Pray continually. As I'm walking around town, as I'm coaching, as I'm guiding, as I'm sitting, God brings somebody to my mind and I'll just start praying for them. God, would you, I don't know what they have going on, but you put them before me. Would you just bless them today? God, meet their needs. God, according to your riches and glory. It can be that simple, that short. Just saying, God, I'm lifting them before you in prayer. It doesn't have to be hours, but it should be like part of our life that we're just doing all day, just like as a habit. But it takes discipline. It's not always easy. Worship, Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4. Worship is another one of our disciplines, and we often simplify worship to just the music and songs at church in modern-day Christianity. Worship is much bigger than that. Of course, this is out of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. And the next commandment is like it. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of all those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Part of our worship to God is obeying him. Obedience is worship to God. How do we obey him unless we know his word? We have to get into his word, read his word, hear his word, know it, so that we can obey. Worship is another big subject. How do you worship and glorify God? The Bible tells us that if we won't do it, the rocks will cry out. All of creation, I believe, worships and glorifies God through doing what it was designed to do. Have you ever listened to a waterfall? How peaceful and wonderful that sounds. The water splatting on the rocks, splashing in the water below. God of all creation. I love hearing elk bugle. The elk in the woods screaming his voice, singing his song, I believe is exclaiming with the breath of his lungs, God, my creator. He's proving creation when he does what he's meant to do. When you and I do what we're meant to do, we scream, glory to God. What are we meant to do? We're meant to be ambassadors of Christ, to tell the world of his great love, his great compassion, to show the world his love and compassion. It takes great discipline, but our lifestyle should be a lifestyle of worship. That God is honored and glorified in all that we do. God, send my daughter a heart. So obedience. Obedience to God's word is part of our worship. Scripture meditation. Not just reading, but meditating on. Do you ever just pull out a passage, a verse, a few words from a verse? God, what does this mean? And just meditate on it, marinate on it. God, what does this mean for the people in the time it was written? What is the then principle? What is the now principle, the timeless principle of it? And what are you asking me to do with what I know about this scripture? What are you asking me to change and shift in my life to apply this scripture to me? Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Obey the word of God, do what he says, and you'll be prosperous and successful. Who doesn't want that? Anybody? But it takes discipline to plug his word in, to meditate on it day and night, to apply it in my life, Knowing it's one thing, meditating on it's another, but to actually apply it, that's another piece of the journey. It's another piece of the journey. Keep God's word before you. Let it be your guide. The next piece, evangelism. Evangelism is another discipline that we must have in our lives. John 3, 16 through 17. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Why evangelize? Because people need to know there's still hope. There's still a God who loves them, and they have not gone too far, but they need only to repent and acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. Do you guys know anybody that needs hope? Like, can you think of at least one person? I know a bunch of people that need hope. They think there's no way out. They think it's the end. Our valley needs a lot of hope right now. There's a bunch of people around you that need hope. Evangelism is simply spreading the good news about Jesus and his salvation, spreading the gospel of hope and peace and love that comes through Christ our Savior. Evangelism is that simple. How do you give hope each and every day to the people around you? It takes discipline. We have to intentionally go do it. We can't just sit back and say the pastor will get that. That's a pastor's job. Because it's not. These are disciplines for all believers. For all of us. Serving. 1 Peter 4:10. First Peter 4:10. Also, the next one is stewardship, which we've been talking a lot about, but they both compile in this passage, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It takes discipline to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities. You have to be disciplined and intentional to go use those. How are you serving in the kingdom of God? How are you serving your community? How are you serving your family? How are you serving the world around you according to the gifts you have been given? How are you stewarding? We've talked about that, so I'm not going to beat it to death today. But are you stewarding faithfully? Are you using your gifts serving faithfully? Yes, I have a talent. I can cape out deer heads. So I got the privilege of going over and caping out a head this week. It's literally in my calendar on my phone. I'm like, I talked to my wife once she returned home, and I was like, how many pastors do you think have this in their daily planner? Go skin out deer head. I think it's great, but it's one of my gifts and abilities, and I can serve in that way. I mean, it's a very unique gift. Not everybody has that. But you have your own unique gifts to serve the people around you, to make life better for those around you. And that's not the only skill I have. I have a couple others. But it was fun. I greatly enjoyed it, and being able to serve in that way brings me joy. Being able to go love on people, doing what I do. Now we get the scripture application. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Scripture application. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you practice those disciplines in your life? Do you allow the scripture to teach you, to rebuke you, to correct you, to train you? God's word is multifaceted, and we should be using it to apply to our lives, to create and form and shape us into the man, the woman that God has created us to be. Fasting. I'm too hungry to talk about that one, but who loves fasting? Who loves fasting technology? Fasting is one of our spiritual disciplines that we should engage in. One thing about fasting is we should do it intentionally, on purpose. Like, what is the reason you are fasting? Otherwise, we're just not eating. But you should have a specific goal in mind. God, I'm seeking you for answers regarding, should we move, should we stay? God, I'm seeking you for answers. Should I do this, should I do that? God, I'm seeking you for revelation on this dream I had, or revelation on a situation I'm dealing with, or God, I just want to get to know you more. God, I want to fast and get alone with you to know your heart for your people. But fasting should be intentional. In the book of Isaiah 58, verse 6, in this whole passage, you should go read it. It's titled True Fasting, all of chapter 58. But this one verse, verse 6. Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and unite and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Sometimes there's spiritual bondage attached to us that needs broken. And we have to do a fast intentionally over that, specifically targeting a situation or an individual's life or what's going on in their life. It says, I want free from this addiction. I want free from this sin. I want free from what binds you, what holds you. Fasting should be specific and intentional. Of course, all of these disciplines have dozens and dozens of verses in the Bible that would go with each one of them. The next one, silence and solitude. How often do you get alone with your Creator? How often do you get into silence and solitude? Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Mark 6:31. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Do you ever get so busy, wound up doing stuff that you forget to eat? Maybe. I do. I run into that problem often. Sometimes, even in ministry, it's good to do good things and do them for the Lord, but even then, Jesus being in this passage, even Jesus had to get away, gives us the example to get away, to get alone, solitude, and rest. And time again, Jesus is in the middle of this ministry. Everybody wants him. Everybody's needing his attention, wanting his prayer, and he goes, I'm going to remove myself and go alone to the mountain to pray. How important is solitude and silence, where we just get alone with God and get refreshed and restored and rest so that we can work from our place of rest in him? Journaling, Habakkuk 2:2. It's a little tiny book of the prophets. Journaling. I'm not a writer. Well, you should be. I'm not a writer either. But man, when I journal the things that come out, when I start putting to pen my thoughts, it scares me sometimes. It's like, that was in there? That's in my brain? Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. You need to write some things down occasionally so that they're plain to you. I like to look back over my journals and maybe I had a really good day or a really bad day, whatever. And in the moment, it didn't seem like a big thing. But looking back, it's like, wow, God, you really used that. And it gives us a ledger to look back at. Look at the good things the Lord has done and walked me through. It builds our faith. It builds our testimony in his goodness. And the last one we'll look at today is learning or study. Learning. Proverbs 9:9. And today is kind of a learning message. I know it's a little different than my normal style, but discipline is or should be a big part of who we are as believers in Christ Jesus, shaping and forming us into the likeness of Jesus, that the world may see him through us. Proverbs 9:9, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. You're sitting here today instead of out hunting whitetails, learning. That's good discipline. I even showed up today. It took discipline. If I didn't show up today, there would be a different kind of discipline. Discipline is not just punishment, but discipline is getting us to do the right thing and do it well. And according to this context, as believers in Christ Jesus, it's getting us to do it to bring glory and honor to who God is, to his name, and to lead others into his hopeful, joyful salvation. That's what discipline is supposed to be creating within us. As a mountain guide and someone who uses a lot of stock, I was just thinking, you know, when I go into the mountains, like, we haven't had satellite service out there very long, and when I started, it was like you were just out of touch with the world, like you were on your own. You had to be very disciplined to not get yourself into trouble or to get hurt or to get the animals injured or hurt. Lead ropes have to be the right length, that they have a little bit of slack. They can move, but they can't be too long, or the horse or mule ahead of them or themselves will step through the loop, and then when it pulls tight, it puts their arm in a little bit of a bind and or their back leg, depending on whose, and it creates what we call a high mountain yard sale. Like, you got mules and pack gear and stuff everywhere throughout the woods. If you're fortunate enough to not be next to a cliff or a stream. But things not done well can create big accidents, big problems in a hurry. But if you're disciplined and do them right, it goes pretty smoothly. I've put on probably tens of thousands of miles in the mountains, have very few incidents, but I was taught and trained very well, and I was disciplined. If I did something wrong, that's not okay, fix it. That's not okay, fix it. Make it right, because your loads have to be perfectly balanced to ride on the side of a mule as you go in 25 miles, or it rubs sores. It creates injury. Discipline is a good thing. What will you practice this week in discipline from what you've learned today? I know it's a lot, and that's not a complete list of disciplines we should be practicing. That's just a 12-piece nugget, just a happy meal. Pick one or two of those. What can I work on this week, Lord? What's an area that I'm weak in that I need to work? God's been dealing with me lately. He says, Arby, you got a lot of pain that you're holding, you're carrying. And it takes discipline to process your pain. It takes discipline to sit with it. And God, I don't want to revisit it. Why? Because it's painful. God says, I need you to deal with it. Because every place in your heart that there's pain, there's not room for me and my will for your life. I was like, ooh, I don't want to deal with that, Lord. Can you like tell somebody else in church? No, I'm dealing with you, Arby. So that's something personally I'm dealing with right now, and personal discipline. It's like, all right, God, let's take a look at the pain. And I haven't grown bitter over it. I don't hate people over it or anything like that, but I'm carrying it. And everything that we carry that's not in alignment with the Word of God, that isn't producing righteousness, that isn't producing peace, it takes up space that God wants to do those things in our lives. So discipline's not always fun, and it may seem painful in the moment, but it's necessary so that we're available for God to do His work through us. So what would you do this week to increase your level of discipline? Because as we read in that very first verse, God gives us the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Meaning I can sit alone with the Lord and self-discipline this guy. We also need a team around us. We need community. But you're okay to work on it on your own also and share it with those around you and bring people in when you need somebody around you. But God has given you that spirit of self-discipline. It is available to you. Practice it, use it, bring glory to God through all that you do this week. Father, I thank you, Lord God. God, for your generosity towards us. God, that your hand is always reaching toward us, God, and our future, our hope is in you. And God, we just thank you that you come alongside us, God, that you walk with us, God, through our good days and our bad days. And God, no matter what we face, God, we don't have to face it alone. If you promise to be by our side. And God, we just thank you, God, that we have the tool of discipline, God, to exercise in our lives, God, to sharpen us. God, to strengthen us, to encourage us. God, to make us into the men and women you've called us to be. God, that we would bring you glory and honor in all that we do. God, that we would lead those around us into your great love. God, your hope, your peace, your salvation. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to be a part of your kingdom work here on earth. God, use us. God, open our eyes to areas that we need more discipline applied to our lives. God, give us the strength and courage to step out in that. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to dig out your folder, inside your folder you'll find a connect card. If you want to fill that out for us, that would be fantastic. Just some general information on the front. And then on the back side, it's got several check boxes there of information you're interested in, and of course, prayer request. We'd love to be in prayer with you. There's also your calendar for November in there. Make sure you take that out, pin it to your refrigerator. There's an invite card, an offering envelope, and a Bible reading plan for the rest of the year. So if you pull those out, use them, take them home, enjoy them. And that connect card you can drop in the offering basket as it comes by in a moment. I'm going to invite the ushers forward. We're going to receive our morning tithe and offering. God is so good and generous to us. He is amazing. So I'm going to say a blessing over the offering, and then they'll pick up your connect cards and receive your tithe and offering. If you're a giver online, you can give at tlcforme.cc. You can follow the prompts on there. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your generosity towards us, God, for your gifts and talents and abilities, God, that we, God, get to put to work, God, to earn an income, God, through the abilities you've given us. And, God, we thank you for the ability to give back into your kingdom, God, to sow into the world around us, God, to meet the needs of widows and orphans, God, to meet the needs locally of individuals, God, we just thank you, God, for all that you've entrusted to us. We ask your blessing upon that which is given. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Check your calendar for events coming up. Of course, the food bank is really busy this time of year getting Thanksgiving funness and food together. So thank you, Wayne and Irene, for that. They do an awesome job to get to bless about 150 families this time of year with Thanksgiving box food, turkeys, funness. So thank you all for your generosity. And our community is a big supporter of that as well. There's local businesses that jump on board and help with that financially. And they love to see what we're doing and helping the world around us and say, we want to be a part. And for those of you, it's going to be tougher than I thought. I will get through this. For those of you that didn't see this week, Kelly and Kari's post on Facebook, they have taken a job in Dallas, so they'll be moving in a month. Sorry. Processing pain, right? It's a good pain, but a real pain. You know, they're spiritual parents to me. They've been here serving, you know, the Clearwater Valley for 35 plus years, and have just been pillars of our community. And December 3rd, we're going to have a send off and bless them. I want to take a really good offering and send them out with a good blessing. So, isn't life wonderful? But yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's been a dream of Kelly's. They're going to go work with our national, international office there in Dallas. And Kelly gets to look out his office window now and see the Cowboys stadium. So, I mean, you know what? Different jokes for different folks. No, Kelly's always been a Cowboys fan. And it's an exciting season for them, but it will leave a large hole in us and our ministry here as they're our executive pastors, and we'll be resigning that position. So yeah, be in prayer for them that everything goes smoothly. They have a house to sell and lots of items to sell before they move, and it's going to be a month and a half of fast and furious. And pray that they find a great deal on a place down there. They have to be down there by January 1. But really want to send them off, honor them, and bless them. So December 3rd is going to be kind of all about them. So come and celebrate with us and enjoy. So I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. We'd love to give you opportunity to be prayed for. We believe in the power of prayer and the laying on of hands as the word calls us to. Give you a chance to agree one with another in prayer. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, maybe you've never heard the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ, and say, wow, I need a Savior. Come forward and any of these individuals can talk with you, walk with you through that. Some of our prayer teams in Hawaii suffering for Jesus also. So keep them in prayers so that they don't get sunburned. But come forward and get prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for the many blessings in our lives. God, we thank you for the people, God, that you put into our lives and community and church family. God, just in every relationship, God, let us see, God, the joy. Let us see, God, the intentionality of why you've placed that person into our circle, God, to grow, develop us, God, to have us come alongside and encourage and strengthen them, Lord God. Father, that we would see those around us through your eyes. And God, that we would be your hands of love, compassion, God, and grace and mercy, God, extended to the world around us. And God, we just ask that you would use us to bring you glory and honor, God, this day and every day forward. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. If you want prayer, come forward and get prayer. Enjoy your week. We'll see you next Sunday.